They were a long-lived and magical race, and this might even be one of those that were alive then, a couple of hundreds of years or more ago. The men of Dale used to have the trick of understanding their language, and used them for messengers to fly to the men of the lake and elsewhere.
Well, he'll have news to take to Lake Town, all right, if that is what he's after, said Bilbo. Though I don't suppose there are any people left there that trouble with thrush language.
Why, what has happened? Cried the dwarves. Do get on with your tale.
So Bilbo told them all he could remember, and he confessed that he had a nasty feeling that the dragon guessed too much from his riddles, added to the camps and the ponies. I'm sure he knows we came from Lake Town and had help from there, and I have a horrible feeling that his next move may be in that direction. I wish to goodness I'd never said that about Barrel Rider. It would make even a blind rabbit in these parts think of the lake men. Well, well, it can't be helped, and it's difficult not to slip in talking to a dragon, or so I've always heard, said Balin, anxious to comfort him. I think you did very well, if you ask me. You found out one very useful thing at any rate, and got home alive, and that's more than most can say who've had words with the likes of Smaug. It may be a mercy and a blessing yet to know of the bare patch in the old worm's diamond waistcoat. That turned the conversation, and they all began discussing dragon slayings historical, dubious, and mythical, and the various sorts of stabs and jabs and undercuts, and the different arts, devices, and stratagems by which they had been accomplished. The general opinion was that catching a dragon napping was not as easy as it sounded, and the attempt to stick one or prod one asleep was more likely to end in disaster than a bold frontal attack. All the while they talked, the thrush listened, till at last, when the stars began to peep forth, it silently spread its wings and flew away. And all the while they talked and the shadows lengthened, Bilbo became more and more unhappy, and his foreboding grew. At last he interrupted them. I'm sure we're very unsafe here, he said, and I don't see the point of sitting here. The dragon has withered all the pleasant green, and anyway the night has come and it's cold. But I feel it in my bones that this place will be attacked again. Smaug knows now how I came down to his hall, and you can trust him to guess where the other end of the tunnel is. He will break all this side of the mountain to bits, if necessary, to stop up our entrance, and if we're smashed with it, the better he will like it.
You are very gloomy, Mr. Baggins, said Thorin. Why has not Smaug blocked the lower end, then, if he's so eager to keep us out? He has not, or we should have heard him.
I don't know, because at first he wanted to try and lure me in again, I suppose. And now, perhaps, because he's waiting till after tonight's hunt, or because he does not want to damage his bedroom if he can help it. But I wish you would not argue.